The night I watch Athena Liu die, we're celebrating her TV deal with Netflix. Off the bat, for this story to make sense, you should know two things about Athena. First, she has everything. A multi-book deal straight out of college at a major publishing house, an MFA from the one writing workshop everyone's heard of, a resume of prestigious artist residencies, and a history of awards nominations longer than my grocery list. At 27, she's published 3 novels, each one a successively bigger hit. For Athena, the Netflix deal was not a life-changing event, just another feather in her cap. One of the side perks of the road to literary stardom she's been hurtling down since graduation. Second, perhaps as a consequence of the first, she has almost no friends. Writers our age, young, ambitious, up-and-comers just this side of 30, tend to run in packs. You'll find evidence of cliques all over social media. Writers gushing over excerpts of one another's unpublished manuscripts. Losing my head over this WIP. Squealing over cover reveals. This is so gorgeous, I will die. And posting selfies of group hangs at literary meetups across the globe. But Athena's Instagram photos feature no one else. She regularly tweets career updates and quirky jokes to her 70,000 followers, but she rarely adds other people. She doesn't name drop, doesn't blurb or recommend her colleagues' books, and doesn't publicly rub shoulders in that ostentatious, desperate way early career writers do. In the entire time I've known her, I've never heard her reference any close friends but me. I used to think that she was simply aloof. Athena is so stupidly, ridiculously successful that it makes sense she wouldn't want to mingle with mere mortals. Athena presumably chats exclusively with blue check holders and fellow best-selling authors who can entertain her with their rarefied observations on modern society. Athena doesn't have time to make friends with proletarians. But in recent years, I've developed another theory, which is that everyone else finds her as unbearable as I do. It's hard, after all, to be friends with someone who outshines you at every turn. Probably no one else can stand Athena because they can't stand constantly failing to measure up to her. Probably I'm here because I'm just that pathetic. So that night, it's only Athena and me at a loud, overpriced rooftop bar in Georgetown. She's flinging back cocktails like she has a duty to prove she's having a good time, and I'm drinking to dull the bitch in me that wishes she were dead. Athena and I only became friends by circumstance. We lived on the same floor at Yale our freshman year, and because we've both known we wanted to be writers since we were sentient, we ended up in all the same undergraduate writing seminars. We both published short stories in the same literary magazines early on in our careers and, a few years after graduation, moved to the same city. Athena, for a prestigious fellowship at Georgetown, whose faculty, according to rumor, were so impressed by a guest lecture she gave at American University that its English department inaugurated a creative writing post just for her. And I, because my mother's cousin owned a condo in Rosslyn that she would rent to me for the cost of utilities if I remembered to water her plants. We'd never experienced anything like kindred spirit recognition or some deep bonding trauma. We were just always in the same place, doing the same things, so it was convenient to be friendly. But although we started out in the same place, Professor Natalia Gaines's introduction to short fiction, our careers spiraled in wildly different directions after graduation. I wrote my first novel in a fit of inspiration during a year spent bored out of my skull working for Teach for America. I'd come home after work every day to meticulously draft the story I'd wanted to tell since my childhood, a richly detailed and subtly magical coming-of-age story about grief, loss, and sisterhood, titled Over the Sycamore. After I'd queried nearly 50 literary agents without luck, the book was picked up by a small press named Evermore during an open call for submissions. The advance seemed like an absurd amount of money to me at the time, $10,000 up front, with royalties to come once I'd earned out. But that was before I learned Athena had gotten 6 figures for her debut novel at Penguin Random House.